Yoo-hoo! This is S.A. Mutav, writer of Me and Mr. Mouse, the series from Milkman Inc., sitting here with the VGC crew. I hope you enjoy the third episode.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to our third episode of Vegas Geek Crew. Our panel consists of myself, Nate Ilvendicator Ramirez.
Noe Monosclos Molina.
Tina Tapatio.
And S.A. Mutav from Milkman Inc.
Hey guys, so today is our literature episode. We're finally recording. We have a special panelist, and we're just going to shoot from the hip. I like the way we generally interact with each other, so I feel that it's going to be a decent episode, a lot of depth. I'm really interested in finding out a little bit more about S.A. Mutav. I love your books. My daughter loves your books. By the way, did you talk to the missus about that print, the original art?
Go ahead and call me out on this on the air.
Yeah, of course. I'm recording it.
Yes, I have, doctor.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted to know.
And what's the verdict?
No, we're not going to talk about the verdict until we're at work, because if I'm disappointed right now, my mood's going to change.
Too soon. Early on in the episode.
Too soon.
Let's work on the sadness later.
So the past month, we're gonna go to recap of the past month. The month's been crazy. It's only been 2 weeks since we shot the last episode.
Yeah, it's been pretty soon, but we got to go over the event, the highlight of what we did.
Yeah, and the reason we're doing this is because scheduling conflicts. S.A. Mutav, he's a gifted writer, but he also works within the corporation, and it's hard to get everyone off at the same time. And I really wanted to bring him on because since the inaugural episode, we've been telling him we're going to do a literature episode. We want you on. I'm a man of my word, and I feel that, you know, the 150 listeners that we have thus far for this second episode.
150?
Yeah, we went up 50%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, thank you.
It's just banter. I mean, we just talk about what we like.
Yeah, so the people that have been listening and people that have given me feedback, it's really positive. It's relatable material. And so I'm glad. I mean, it's nothing complex, but it's things that we like to talk about. And usually, that's the reason we pick a subject, is because it makes it easy. Right,
but we also like picking at each other's brains.
Yeah, because I mean, no, sometimes you come in clutch with some of these facts, and I'm like, where the hell did this guy fucking come from? You know what I mean? What is the highlight of this month?
The warehouse sale.
Yes, the warehouse sale.
Retro City Games in Henderson.
Yes, Retro City Games.
So, lovely story. That was the first video game store that I came to when I first moved here. Had no idea, never been to Las Vegas, never had any experience going to any stores, any neighborhoods. I was expecting only casinos. So that was the first store you took me to. And I kind of manifested myself buying myself a PlayStation, getting into gaming. So that was like my first introduction to just heavy gaming. Before that, I didn't have any systems other than my Switch, but that's what really got me into PlayStation, Xbox.
Prior to moving out here, I've been going to that store, and it was one of the spots I like to stop at. I just like the ambiance there. Most of their staff is really friendly and really knowledgeable. They know that what you're looking for, and you give them, you know, I want this, blah, blah, blah. And they always had things coming in. People traded in things, and I'd ask, and they'd sell it to me before they even categorized it and put a price on it. Based on the interaction, that value, that brings high value to me. Client services, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I feel comfortable, I'm definitely going to spend money. I'm going to find something because I love keeping businesses like that alive. We had the warehouse sale.
We did.
What'd you think, Noe? Was that your first time there?
Actually, no, it was not my first time there. I think I stopped there sometime during the shutdown. I was looking to fix the system that I have, which I still haven't fixed. My experience there, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like
over the top great.
Great, yeah.
Everyone's going to flirt with you, sir.
You also have to make the first move.
I was kind of like, you know, wanted them to flirt with me. Yeah, you're right.
No.
No, I'm just
it's
kidding.
Kind of hard because.
Yeah, see, like Sean's doing over here.
He's giving you
hi,
some.
Hi, Sean.
Big eyes.
Did you guys find any grails, any gems, anything that you want to talk about?
I found a whole bunch of comics.
Did you?
Nothing specific that caught my eye that I'm a fan of. But there was some stuff I picked up because I feel that there's this character that, you know, in the future might be a little bit more popular. It might have a fan base, you know, I don't know. Name of the character is Amethyst. There was a number one in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? I'm picking this up just because they do a show, they do...
I'm a little jealous.
Anything like that.
There wasn't enough space to go through those boxes.
No, yeah, I was trying to. People were a little aggressive, yeah. I will say.
No, they said there 50 people guy. At a time. No, hell no. They had 75 people in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
There's two ladies that pinched the wrong cheek. And so I had, you know, I was just like, what's going on?
I was trying to take the calmer route where I was just like, let me look around and see where I want to plant myself. And next thing you know, a guy was like high diving on the table trying to get a PS4 like Final Fantasy box. And I was like, dude, it's not that serious. You can have it. I was looking at it. I was like lightly touching it, but he like dope. I was like, it's all yours, buddy.
I feel fortunate because I feel like my size is intimidating. Like people would see me touch it, yeah, and they'd walk away.
Meanwhile, you asked me like, I think, what was I wearing? Like, I didn't look aggressive, so people were just like, get the fuck out of my way.
My favorite thing I picked up was the metal signs.
Yes.
I love the metal signs, and I was so happy when I found them. The only system I didn't get in the metal signs was Xbox, and because this guy picked up Xbox and Dreamcast, and I'm like, damn it, because I'm not a huge Microsoft guy. Mm-hmm. I support mostly American companies. It's just one of my things. It's like one of my little glitches, and so like Microsoft and
Ford. And Xbox was your first system, right? Before PlayStation, or no, was it
PlayStation? PlayStation was my first system.
Really?
Nintendo was actually my first system.
Oh, yeah, Nintendo.
But we're going to have a video game episode the next episode. Let's so we'll table that. I was happy to find those metal signs because they're great decorative pieces, and they usually run about $15 to $20, and at $1 a piece you can't beat it. And so I picked some up. I didn't know you wanted one until we got in the car, and I ended up gifting you the Nintendo Entertainment System one because
it made me cry.
It's the most relatable because it reminds you of family, right?
It reminds me of mom.
Mom.
Yeah.
Me, you. And it's kind of something we've always passed along. But
that was a really good find. That alone. But you did find a lot of other gems. And then I feel like my main focus once I started heading towards the tables, so I was like, I don't really collect the older figures, especially when it comes to the McDonald's, Burger King's collectibles. But that's the first box that I ran into. And I was like, let me see what I can find for him.
No, because I love those. I love those old figures that used to come in Happy Meals. The one grail thing I found was a Laserdisc Toy Story. And so if you guys listen to the first episode, you know Toy Story is a very impactful thing in my life when it comes to me, my family, and my mom. And so I found a sealed Laserdisc, and I was like, I don't have a Laserdisc, but it's a great display piece. And so I was happy.
My daughter found a little camera. I gotta bring it back up to you guys. My daughter wants to gift it to your mom because it's I want to say it's a Woody camera, and you can see inside. It's got like a little picture or whatever.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna film her reaction, and I'm gonna post it on our social media because that's beautiful. Your kids are beautiful. Like when you bought the Wii U, I gifted them a couple games because I was like, you can't have a system and not buy games, you know? Just tell them Uncle Nate did it so they can have fun. And so like the fact that they're paying it forward and they know that my mom loves Woody, I love it. You're raising them right, sir. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm going to film a little, like, here's a gift video, and we'll explain it to her in Spanish. And then my mother is childlike when it comes to Woody and cowboys and stuff. And she turns into, you know, that 5-year-old little kid. And so I'm excited. Thank you so much. We'll surprise her.
That's so sweet of her.
You're welcome. Is your mom a big cowboy movie fan?
Yes.
Like Clint Eastwood and all that?
Yes.
All
this stuff, Western
really.
Films.
Really?
Le encantaba Pedro Infante.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. No, anything because she felt like these people are so real. And she thought when she was in Bolivia that the Western world was still like that. They lived out in the range and stuff like that. And so it was a surprise for her when she got here and there's a city and she's just like, what is all this? She expected everyone to still pan for gold and stuff. So
once I reached that point in adulthood where I had a little bit more spending money, we, as like her children, sent her off to powwow. It took place at like a college campus, but it was like actual indigenous Native American culture, dances, jewelry, food. And when I tell you my mom cried, it was probably like the best day because it just touched base back on her childhood when she loved Western films and cowboys. And
her caller ID picture for me is her and one of the chiefs. And the chief's like, she's like, chief, can I take a picture too? And the chief's like, yeah, you married? She's like, yeah, where's your husband? And she pointed at my dad. Is he stupid? And my mom laughed because he's always like, he's not gonna get mad at me. And my mom's like, no. And my dad's just like, did he call me stupid? And so it's one of my mom's favorite stories to tell. She's just like the excitement behind her because she just that you can only imagine my dad being like, what did he call me stupid? What did I do? I'm just supporting her fandom, you know? But I love my mom turns into like this infant, almost toddler, like when you talk to her about Westerns or cowboys. And my little kid, my daughter, she loves Woody now too. And she's just like, yeehaw. And so my mom now calls Woody yeehaw. She's like, where's yeehaw? And she'll bring him by. And she has like stuffed animals and stuff, but it's nice to see my mom have that innocence still in her and that youthfulness because it makes you appreciate things. And I'm glad that I told her the other day, I sat her down and was like, hey, your youth was lost and you felt lost and alone. I guess adult life you gave to us children by raising us. Now that you're old, what's that age demographic? I guess I don't want to say
she's old.
She's old.
don't want to see it.
En tu vejez, when you're, or now that you're old, yeah. You're going to enjoy what you couldn't when you were young. And she just started bawling. And it just, that's all I want to do is make sure she has fun while she's retired.
And as we were kids, she always made sure that we kept in touch with that inner child. We could always depend on mom to have, make us have fun with what we had. And even now, like the last thing she bought me, we went to the swap meet. And plushies are like my thing. Glanced at one. And as I was leaving, she just like, are you sure you don't want it? I was like, yeah, I don't want it. And this was like a few months ago. She went back and she bought it for me, and it made me almost want to cry. Like her attention to detail to just feed into that when we couldn't as we
were. She's our biggest supporter when it comes to all these things, right? And even though, like, if you take her to a collectible store, she's the first one to make money. She's like, you're spending your money on chingaderas. and it's like, mom, it's not chingaderas. It's something that brings me joy. And now that we're older, and when she sees us feeding her inner child, she's just like, para tu casita, más colectibles. You know, at first it's chingaderas, and then she sees the joy it brings us and how we live, and she's like, oh, perfect. Let me feed into them. Okay, so that was a good talk about that. Let's move on to drink of the day. So the drink of the day is a cult classic, and it's due to the fact that we have a special guest. So we brought Yoo-Hoos today, and it's because we have S.A. Mutoff, and he writes children's books. I was like, this would be perfect, because earlier I had a conversation with him at work, and I was like, hey man, what do you like to drink? We have the drink of the day segment. He's like, I write children's books, man. What's wrong with you?
What do you think I like to drink?
Yeah, he's like,
chocolate milk.
Yeah, I was like, okay, chocolate milk it is. You know, Yoo-Hoo has been one of my favorite things. When I was a child, my parents used to buy the powder, and they're like, you don't need to buy the stuff that's already pre-made. We have the powder.
Nesquik.
Or Chocomil.
Chocomil.
You guys were lucky. I never even got that.
Whoa, don't gotta remind us that we were more spoiled than you, bro.
Yeah, every time, bro. Sorry.
He humbles us every time.
Yeah, it's like, okay, great. I did not live a luxurious life. And it's like, no, yeah, you did, bro. You had socks.
We say sadness, he says darkness.
Yeah. But no, I love the Yoo-Hoo.
This is our first time having one.
As soon as I became an adult and I moved out on my own, I always made sure I had Yoo-Hoos in the fridge because I love the taste. It's one of those things that I'm just like, this is liberty. You know, God bless America.
I'm a free man.
Yeah, exactly. And so on a 1 to 5, I give it a 5. Oh, what do you think? This is your first time trying it, by the way, right?
Yes, it is. It's my first time trying it. I'll give it a 4. Not because it's not good. It's a little watery for me.
Okay.
Like, I'd like it to be a little bit more creamier.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Okay. But it's good. It is good.
So now we all know that you like creamy substances. And Tina, what do you think?
No, I like it. I feel like I'm past that stage where I always ask me after I wake up from a nap. I'd give it a 10 out of 5. Anytime I nap, I always crave something sugary. So I'll wake up, it's just like, where's the sugar? But it's really good. I give it a 5.
Mr. Mutoff, what do you think of the drink of the day for you?
Honestly, I'm going to have to give it a 4.
We're not all married. Sorry, sir. We don't have loved ones.
She must make abuelitas.
Yes, that's what I was going to tell you.
Yes.
She makes abuelitas.
My mom makes abuelitas.
Yeah,
oh.
It's been a while.
Yes.
Yeah,
it has. Well, it's also hot. What was it today?
It is 110 degrees averaging out this week.
Yeah, I don't need any of that. I was just like, so overall, we rated it. It's pretty high. Let's say 4.5.
Yeah.
It's good. It's I'm glad. Fair. And then, you know what? Always sharing a drink or breaking bread amongst friends is always nice.
Brings us together.
Prior to us recording, all four of us were going through the Yoo-Hoo, I don't know, craziness. There was just like, everyone had an instant sugar rush. I was feeling
a little sugar drunk.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on? Is this episode going to be like this? I was like, here I go, editing for 8 hours again. I was like, no. So we're going to move on. Topic is literature, and we wanted to talk about different things. Let me start. Literature's always played a huge part of my life, and I wanted to start and see when you remember picking up something that was impactful. I feel that all types of literature is great, whether it be a biography or whether it be a fantasy book or a children's book. I think that when you can write thoughts and transport the reader, it's amazing, right? And there's something about literature for me that's never going to get old. I love holding a book and just reading and getting lost in whatever I'm reading. And we're back. So we had technical difficulties. Question on this literature episode is going to be, when is the first time you remember some piece of literature having an impact on your life? We're going to start with Noe.
So my very first memory of literature having an impact on my life was the Bible. And the reason I say that is I don't remember what age I was. I'm going to say that I was 5 years old. So I was very, very young. My mom had me reading a lot of biblical literature, not only like the Bible, but biblical literature. I had to recite this piece for this play. I played the angel Gabriel. It was when Gabriel comes down to Mary and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. And I had to recite all that. And that's like my first memory.
That's beautiful, dude. I feel that culturally speaking, just the structure that is the church unites families, and it's very impactful when you're young, and the fact that you remember that is beautiful. You said you remember reciting something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything specific you remember reciting?
Yeah, I don't remember the whole thing. It was somewhere along the lines of bendita eres entre las mujeres. How did it go?
Y bendito es el fruto de tu vientre,
Jesús.
Which is part of the prayer,
right?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I had to recite. Like it's a lot longer. It was a little bit
it's
more.
It's very impressive because you say the fact that you were 5 years old, so I can't imagine a five-year-old being able to recite it, memorize it, and mm-hmm. put it in a play and stand in front of who knows how many people. Because right. me at five, I was just scared to ask somebody to be my friend.
You know what's funny is thinking about that, I don't know how I did that, because I think I was very, very talkative when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. But when I hit puberty, I became this guy who was just like quiet and didn't say anything to anybody. And
I don't believe it.
I'm serious.
Yeah, your voice says otherwise.
I mean, yeah, but even Gorgino. you know,
like get a couple chalky milks and you see who you become.
Do you need another yoo-hoo? I do need another yoo-hoo. But it's weird. No, but
because you're so cute. We need to bring Moitoff back a couple of times.
But it's
do you have a memory, an impactful memory, first time introducing yourself to literature?
Mine would have to be going to the library. What? So coming back to when we've lived in California and Huntington Beach. I wasn't born in Huntington Beach, but raised in Huntington Beach. So there was beautiful park. There was the public park that was connected to the library, but it was a lot of greenery, a lot of fountains. The ponds were full of ducks. So it was very strange, because it was super green with a lot of the trees that weren't.
It was serene.
It was.
And it's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful architectural things in California, and it's so hidden. It's surrounded by forestry. If you've ever watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off, his friend's house is very similar to that library. It's all cement too. It's concrete. It's a concrete building.
A lot of windows too.
Though. Yeah, glass everywhere. And so it's a hidden gem. And we have a lot of great memories of just going there and just getting lost in books.
Yeah, on the weekends our dad used to take because he would, once you walk in, I still remember, you walk in and to your left was the checkout, but there was also where you can rent the movies and the CDs. So dad would always go to the left, and then a little farther to the left, if you walked forward, it turns to the kids section. And then as you go down, there's a spiral, like a spiral pathway that goes around the big fountain that's in the center of the library. But keep in mind, everything is surrounded by class. You go farther to the right, and then it turns into almost a studio. It turns into levels where it goes from young adult to adult books to the computer area. But then there was also a basement that had an auditorium for theater. I've never been in there.
Yeah, it was a theater. A lot of the local theater companies would use it and have local productions of like the Nutcracker and stuff. My dad wasn't too, he was into what is shows and theater, but the thing is, he was always afraid to go. Now that he's older, I take him to all these different events, and I take him to all these different plays and whatever I can.
I have an idea. You know what we should do? So when school's back, whenever it starts,
I think it's August.
August. Let's start looking into the shows that they do at the Las Vegas Academy. These kids are amazing.
I don't think I've ever been to a play.
Yeah, these kids are amazing. Like,
because it's artistry at its finest. Because it's so pure, it's raw.
Do they really?
Do they?
I don't have high school kids, bro. It's gonna be weird if I'm like, oh, do you have a kid? No, I don't. I just came to see.
I used to do plays at Green Valley High School also. And there would be a lot of older adults that would come in and watch.
Oh, you can attend.
Yeah, you can attend. You buy tickets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so they would come in and they would give reviews of the thing, and they would be in the newspaper of everybody.
We should make that an episode.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
to know.
We should do.
We should.
The arts,
yeah. We'll especially when it comes arts. To getting involved with community. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking back to when we went to the library here in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, and I was looking for the I Spy books. I don't know if you guys remember
We talked about this last time. Remember?
Yeah, we were. I remember you mentioning the I Spy books. I don't remember those books. That the last time. Sorry.
Yeah. No. It had to do with photography, because it was a bunch of different photographers who would collaborate with hiding different pieces, and at the bottom it says I Spy.
Oh yeah, I
and then
do
you would have to look
books.
And it was honestly the best books. That is one of my fondest memories. I thought it was going to be a situation like that where if you go to the play, they're like, "Where's your kid?" I was like, "I don't have one, but I'm here."
Where's Waldo?
Yeah, that's it. Was basically a refined Where's Waldo. Now moving on to Mr. Mutoff. Or what is a memory where you first interacted with literature when you remember it having some sort of impact? Or?
So early on, I used to try to read books by osmosis. And so I would go ahead and lay my head down on the books and just hoping that I would be able to just take it all in. So the first experiment was with the dictionary that I was told to read from cover to cover, you know, over and over and over and over again. Those are just weird. Pneumonology, microscopic silicone, mechaniconiosis. Yeah, that one stuck to me pretty well. 42 letters long. I just wanted you guys to know that. But otherwise, the books that I liked to read early on were like the children's classic books, which was this volume of books, and you guys probably have seen them. They probably have the really dull color. You might even see them in a thrift store nowadays because people like don't want to read those type of books. But it had a lot of different types of books in them. Like they would have a fairy tale section. They would have stories for girls. They would have stories for boys. They would have a science section. But it was a collaboration of like almost like an encyclopedia of different stories. And more impactfully, it was like the mythology section or the fairy tale section that I loved the most. And you start to think about it that these stories are old. And they still come through and...
They resonate with everybody. Yeah. It's funny, like, there's so many different versions of these stories worldwide, and I've encountered them, and so it's beautiful. Do you have a specific story you remember that you enjoy the most?
The creation stories that would be inside the mythology ones, because there are a lot of very basic similarities between all of them, of creation and, like, us coming from dirt. And, it you know, Greek mythology did the very same thing. You have your Mesoamerican that would do something of the same nature. Hebrew would do the same. A lot of books are make that same thing. So it's just very interesting how all these different cultures can have basically like almost a very similar story. And so it'd be very impactful. And it just sees how we can link stories between each other.
It's beautiful.
Dude, you're so deep. You're one of my favorite humans out here since I've moved out here. Like, I love just having conversations with you because sometimes we will have some deep conversations. And I understand that we're at work and I get lost in it and I'm like, oh man, I'm holding him from working and actually leading people to get things done. You're so intelligent, right? And so our conversations are always in depth, especially about literature. And I love the fact that you're here today. So thank you. To tell you guys one of my first memories, one of the first impactful moments I had with literature was I read Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes. And it was, a lot of people don't understand that they were actually short stories that were published in newspapers. So they were basically the first versions of comic books. And their books were about 4,000 pages long. So you just, I'd sit there and read them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I did not know that's how long they were.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started, read this?
I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And
that's
so,
really young.
I would have been bored.
I was always unique as a kid, and I was different, and I knew it. And like I said in another episode, I felt alone a lot, and I kind of dealt with it because I was like, cool, I have books, I have other things that I'm interested in, and I just keep myself occupied because I couldn't really have a conversation with my middle sister or my little sister about things that I enjoyed.
Or even the people your age, because you're here reading Sherlock Holmes while everybody else is playing outside.
Yeah, and so I would stay in, instead of going out to play in the playground, I'd stay in, and most classes have like reading next. And Mrs. Anderson, my fourth grade teacher, one day she sat next to me. She's like, hey, so this book you're reading, do you understand it? I'm like, yeah. And she asked me how. And so I was like, my dad always had a dictionary, Webster's dictionary, in the house, and he had a thesaurus.
I remember it. It was red.
Yeah. And so anytime I didn't understand something, I'd write it on a piece of paper. I'd go home and I'd look it up. And there was always examples of how it was used because we didn't have Google. Or we didn't have internet. And so I would tell her, and then I'd show her my little notebook, and she's like, I'm gonna teach you something. Are you interested in anything else? And at the time I was like, yeah. She's like, do you like sports? I'm like, yeah. Do you like baseball? I was like, yeah. She's like, what team? And I was like, the Angels. And like I said in previous episodes, Disney had always played a huge role. Angels in the Outfield was big for me. I was like, oh cool, dad loved it. She gave me a book on the history of the Angels, and I found out so many cool things. And she said, things that stick out in your mind, things that you find interesting, write them down, and then write a couple sentences describing why they're interesting to you. So she taught me how to do research and reports at 8 years old. So later on in the school year, towards the end, we started reading short literature things. And basically, there was a lot of non-English speaking kids in class. And so I would teach them how to write reports in their own language. Later on, what ended up happening was, she was so grateful. I was the first student of the year for school. And because I had taught those less fortunate how to do something that she said wouldn't have been possible. Now I see that the fact that I can regurgitate information and help and translate, it helped so many people. But that was probably my earliest memory. So
I was so deep in your story. And I was like, yeah, I can envision it, Miss Anderson, because you've talked about her before.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you snap me out of it. You're like, all right, you go.
My next question is a memory with literature. And I'll start that way you guys can kind of gauge what I'm trying to get. One of my most, I guess, impactful memories of literature. I was in the fifth grade a year after, and usually kids write letters to Santa, and so I did. I wrote a long letter, and I wanted all these books. And my dad was like, Santa's gonna think you're crazy. He's like, ¿estás loco? ¿Quieres libros? And I'm like, I do. I want books. And I just remember him making fun of me. He's like, no, you're gonna get it. I think Santa's gonna bring you a soccer ball. And I just was like, no, I want books. I want these books. And he's just like, so he gave me the books. Like, I ended up getting the books from Santa. I finished them in 3 days. And he's like, Santa's gonna be sad.
Look what you've done.
Those are meant to be used long term.
How old were you?
9.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just like, it's always been a thing. And then gradually, as I gotten older, I transitioned into graphic novels and stuff like that. But I remember that specifically, that my, for so long, you know, I didn't realize how reading books, because I saw older people doing it. The people that I admire, the teachers that were my friends, because I didn't have friends my own age. And so I'm like, they're reading, why can't I read?
What was the first graphic novel you read?
The very first graphic novel I read. You know, that's hard.
Was it when you were in the military?
It was actually Watchmen. And I fell in love because it was so dark. It was one of the darkest things. So it's basically, what if everything in the DC universe went wrong?
Oh.
And Frank Miller, right? No, it's... What's his name? We had this conversation before. Alan Moore. Yeah. But it was just so dark, and it was a different view on everything, because it wasn't your normal superhero. There's sex. There's killing. It's
really dark.
It's one of the darkest things. If you ever have an opportunity to read it, it will put you in a dark place.
Watchmen.
Yeah, Watchmen. The film, I think it's one of the only films that does a graphic novel justice, except the ending. I was really upset about the ending.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. So, okay, we're going to move on to Tina. What do you have a memory with books?
I mean, my earliest memory where I would finish books through and through was the children's comic books of Captain Underpants. I will always go back to this because that was also my start into art. When it came to the end of the book, there was always a how to draw the main character, how to draw the villain, and I would always go back and draw what I just read. So there's a lot of drawings in a box somewhere at home that consists of my drawings from when I was like 7, 8 years old. So at that age, when it was impactful for you for literature, mine was the drawing.
No, that's cool. And you're a gifted artist. How about you, Mr. Martel?
Funny story about that whole thing of an impactful moment. The first one that comes to mind is this book. I can't exactly remember the title, but it was in the first grade, and there was two of them that were inside the library. My friend Jesse, who was my friend at the moment, but he became my friend after we both found this book, and it was something along the lines of Hello Pussycat. And so him and I got it, and we thought it was the dirtiest book. And we were just like sitting outside, hey, Miss Gorilla, that was my first grade teacher.
Miss Gorilla, yeah. Was she like, cute? I caught him completely off guard. Did you see his face?
Let him finish his story.
But we went outside and we said, can you sit outside as we read this book? We dragged a desk outside in order to read this book. And so that way we weren't interrupting the rest of the class. We got our homework and everything finished as early as possible. And then we would sit there and we would read the book. And we go, and the pussycat went down to the street. And we would bust up laughing every single time. Because today, if you just use the word by itself, it means something completely different. But because the book was an older book, it doesn't make anything.
Do you remember what the cover looked like by chance? I'm trying to look it up.
I don't remember that. But because, you know, like even, when Tweety Bird is going, hello, pussycat.
Yeah, no, we talked about this in the last episode. There's so much hidden censorship now. Yeah. It's impossible to have, like, just genuine fun because people are so sensitive. It's like, if you look at most of the movie critics, Now they look for things that will offend somebody else. It's not about the film or the production. Now it's all about like, oh, they ate a Taco Bell and they were in Chinatown. That doesn't happen. It's like, that makes no sense. People are not offended, but that's what type of society we become. And I feel that because we grew up in a time when pussycat can be said, we're not as sensitive and we're a little bit tougher. And I feel we're also genuine when it comes to our interactions with other humans, because we're not afraid to offend anybody, because we understand that we're not malicious in our intent. I can only imagine you being a little guy just reading that book. Did you find it?
I didn't. There is one that came out in 1972.
Oh geez, Sean's old.
You can see a little putty tat penny teddy bear, so I'm assuming it's that one.
Yeah, it's probably that one.
It's on eBay.
So Mr. Momoskos, do you have a literature memory? Well, actually I'm gonna ask you, I want to know the first comic book you got into. The first graphic, or the first time you were introduced, because that's where we actually met on an equal playing field, like when we started talking about our graphic novels and our love for this art.
Okay, so very first comic I bought was Superman, first appearance of Maxima. It was Action Comics number 645, I believe, 645. And it was a story about this woman from outer space who's looking for a new husband, and she found Superman, and she goes cuckoo on him. I didn't finish reading the rest of it because, you know, at that time, I couldn't afford comics. My brother actually bought me this comic. Anyways, that's like my memory of my very first comic.
I love the old graphic novels. I touch base. Like, there's a Green Lantern that was a junkie. There's an Iron Man that was a drunk. And they used to be, there used to be a lot more darkness in these stories.
Very adult.
Yeah, and, you know, it would touch on subjects that now would be considered, you know, a no-no. And so, because now they think that all children read these graphic novels. No. I think the prime audience is adults.
It is.
Because there's so much depth in the writing, right? And so that's a good book. I want to read that now, because I've never heard. I don't remember Maxima.
I don't know how popular she is. Honestly, she did have more appearances in other Superman comics. So I'm guessing that she did become kind of popular. I don't know. In all honesty,
what do you think of the new Flash and their use of Supergirl?
I actually like the Supergirl. I like this movie, and it's actually been shitting on a lot lately, but I think maybe I enjoyed it more because of a lot of the nostalgia that was put into that movie.
I think it's a perfect film, mm-hmm. transition from graphic novel to film, because that's what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that went to go see it, they wanted a theatrical art piece. Mm-hmm. No. These are graphic novels that are being in live action films being added to it. That's what it's supposed to be. I enjoyed it for what it was. I told you when I first watched it, I was like, this is a comic book that's mm-hmm. come to life.
Yeah.
I loved the use of Nicolas Cage and his Superman that never happened. And Kevin awesome. Smith has become, I think everyone is tagging him now. And because for years he's had conversations and he's had panels where he talks about, it's called Superman Relives or Superman Lives, and the film that never came to fruition. And so you get to see what his initial mission was. But now we're going to move on. That's basically our memories. And now we're going to move to our special guest, Mr. S.A. Mutoff, Milkman. You have so many names. But we brought you on for the day because I wanted to make sure that I want to promote your book. Honestly, we want to promote your book. We're your friends, I think.
Books, right? There's two?
Yeah, there's two. So me and Mr. Mouse and me and Mr. Mouse.
Well, me and Mr. Mouse at the beginning, and me and Mr. Mouse, the socks thief.
The socks thief. And it's really beautiful. What I want to know is how'd you start your journey? What made you want to write a book?
Well, first off, I'd like to give a lot of credit to my wife.
How many kids do you have?
I have 6 kids.
Yeah, this man's cranking them out. You're obviously brown, sir.
Hey, there is something called a television.
Yeah, we have one now.
So, I love your books. And you, like you said, you just started doing it. But putting pen to paper is hard. And actually,
because what it is in actuality is the fact that when you start to write a story, especially a story that you have come from your heart, you're basically opening yourself up to everybody so that way they can hear what you have to say. And a lot of people, when they go to try to write stories, they become a little afraid of that they're going to be judged, that there's something that's wrong with them if they are expressing these stories as they're saying them. But as we start to figure out, especially any writers that are really using their own personal life as they put them in stories, they find it very relieving, and they find that they can get a lot of their stuff out, and they're able to really pour their hearts into their stories.
Tell us about Mr. Mouse. Where did the concept of Mr. Mouse come from?
Mr. Mouse.
So when I was 1 year old, my grandfather gave me Mr. Mouse. Mr. Mouse has been around with me since I was one. And Mr. Mouse currently is still with me and is in my arms. And you guys can all see Mr. Mouse staring at you guys.
I love the fact that you brought Mr. Mouse. It sets a tone.
Well, we have to be joyful when we're doing this. We can't go too dark on everything. You know, it's...
These two make me go so dark, so fast. So often.
Call me a bright ray of sunshine. Yoo-hoo. With the Me and Mr. Mouse stories, they are really having a dark tone to them. You know, there is an underlying message under everything that is there, but I keep it light and fluffy as you're reading it, because sometimes we need to see the bright side of life.
You were telling us Grandpa gave it to you when you were a little guy. And
so Mr. Mouse has been carried around with me since I was 1 year old. Through all the adventures I myself personally have had through all these years, over 42 years of life, Mr. Mouse has been carried around with me from house to house, wherever I've gone. The inspiration of the story of Mr. Mouse comes from the fact that Mr. Mouse has always been there with Mr. Mouse in these stories, you know, helps the child in the stories learn lessons in life. And my grandfather, when didn't intend for me to continue to hold on to this mouse, that when I got it originally, it was about the size of me. And now Mr. Mouse is about the size of one of my little tiny children, and especially in my arms here. Mr. Mouse has continually gone on many adventures with me in real life. And so Mr. Mouse and these stories that I write are actually very true stories, you know, because they come from the heart on everything.
What's your favorite Mr. Mouse story?
What's my favorite Mr. Mouse story?
Yeah. Well,
I have a whole bunch of them that I haven't even told yet.
What's one that, you know, like, you resonate with, and then when you tell it, it almost puts you in a nostalgic / emotional state?
So, like, in the first book, there's this one part where Grandpa is sitting with the child, and they're doing the sky arms, and they're controlling them on everything. That whole little story was about when we had our construction company, Mutoff and Sons Construction Company, and my grandfather was teaching me how to operate a backhoe, because we had that construction company. So he was teaching me how to use that. So that little scene that's inside the book is an actual scene where I'm sitting on my grandfather's lap, and we're moving the levers around and getting the arm to move back and forth in real life. And so in the story, the child is learning how to pick up the little balls that are there and put them over in a different section, because they're like highly explosive and they're dangerous inside the story. The true story behind that was that my grandfather, when I was about 8 years old, was letting me drive the backhoe on the construction site. And he was just like, no, you go ahead, try and drive it. Just, you know, I'll do the gas and the brakes and everything. You go ahead and steer the whole thing, because I couldn't reach the pedals. We were driving down alongside this ditch, and my grandfather, he was just like, go to the left. You're really calm as he's telling a little bit more to the left, actually your other left. And as we are continuing to drive down, all of a sudden we started sliding down into the ditch. And I did get very upset with myself, because I was like, I'm in the ditch, I'm in a hole, I screwed this up, Grandpa, we're not going to be able to get this back out. And he's like, hey, it's okay. You don't have to worry about that. We can always find a way out, and we can always get ourselves back out of that ditch. You just got to think outside the box when you're doing it. And so he went ahead and he took control of the whole thing, and he went ahead and he put down the outriggers. He took the backhoe arm and he put it down on the ground, and he's lifted up with the bucket, and he started spidering out of the ditch. And he was able to get us completely out of it. And so that way we were able to do it. And so that's where the bit of that inspiration comes from, that where the child in the story says, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to be good at anything. And Grandpa in the story says, never say never.
I love that. When I first met you, we had so many conversations. And then one day you're like, hey, I wrote a book. And I was like, you wrote a book? And you're like, yeah, a children's novel. And I bought it from a third-party retailer. I paid probably double what market value was, but I didn't care because I wanted you to sign it. And the first time I read it to my kid, why this guy? I want to know where these stories came from. And I was just like, my kid's like, oh, she'll go grab it. And we read, thank you so much for you dedicated the book to us. And the illustrator was there and we went to your book signing. And I was like, man, you're so creative. There's so much depth to you as a human. I was like, I didn't realize that these were actual stories that had happened to you as a child. I was like, I thought you were Harry Pottering everything. I was like, oh, this guy can write something magical. But it's nice to know that they actually have a real life connection to you. It's beautiful. I can't wait. I know that you're working on many other books, right?
Yeah. Currently, book two is already out. Book three is in production right at the very moment, and we're getting ready to do that one. And I have them planned all the way up to book 12 on everything. So there's this whole thing is like this whole circle of books. There's 12 of them that I have planned out.
I have to ask, are you just going to eventually sell a box set?
Eventually it's going to be a box
set. Okay, then I'm just going to wait for the box set. Because then if I buy every single one and then you have a box set later and it's got like beautiful artwork, I'm going to hate you. So you said ultimately your wife was your inspiration to get this published, all your stories, right?
Yes. So when my wife would listen to me say these stories and to the kids, she said, you know what you need to do? You need to start writing these down. You need to start getting them published and everything. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not too sure about that. I'm not sure if I want to write all these down because I was very unsure of myself. But my wife believed in me more than I believed in myself on the things that I could do. And she said, no, you need to do it. Because if you don't do it, I'm going to go ahead and write them down as I'm listening to you. And I'm going to publish them under my name. So that way you can understand how great of a person you are and how great of a writer you are.
I met your family, your support system, when we went to your house for your book signing. And I was impressed. Everyone is so just united. Even I met your mom and your dad, right? Is that your dad? It's not her side piece or anything. I don't want to say the wrong thing on the air. But no, I met everybody and everyone loved you. And your mom came over and she said, she talked about Mr. Mouse for a little while. And I was moved. And I was like, I wanted to dedicate at least an episode to where you're here and you talk about these books. Because they're... It sounds like I'm also like kissing up, but I'm not. Noah, you read the books right to your kids, or did you read them to yourself?
I read the first one to my kids. The second one I read to myself. I'm still yet to read it to them, but they always get me. I could tell that these stories are very, very dear to S.A. Mutav's heart, you know. It's a very inspirational story. Like I said, it always gets me. Like, I always want to cry.
I'm so serious. Like, me too. Like, I love the fact. It's relatable. So, for a long time, I hate saying this. I wish I had someone like your grandpa to help me when I was a child. Because I was so alone. So, I read these books and it's like, man, every child should have somebody like this to guide them and help, right? Or a Mr. Mouse to be supportive. I had a blanket. My dad made me get rid of it at 6. He's just like, you need to grow up. My father was very driven on the fact that we need to be adults about life because he didn't have a childhood. And so that's how he wanted to raise us. But I read your books and it takes me to a place of innocence, straight transparency, being honest, and it makes me happy. And the fact I'm like, oh man, because I constantly play with my kid and I try to be, you know, her friend, her dinosaur, her rocket, whatever she needs me to be that day. And it reminds me of your books. And I'm like, man, because I'm living that, and it's nice to see that I'm not the only human with that mentality. Both of you with your children are beautiful. It's beautiful to see the effort you put forth. You have 3 girls. God bless you, sir. That's difficult, and they all have different personalities. And I grew up around women, so I know. And you have a mixture of everything.
4 girls and 2 boys.
Yeah, and so you have, you know, a co-ed basketball team. And I saw your eldest playing with the little ones and kind of like guiding them around, and it was beautiful. And so to read these things, what does your family think, like your mom, about your books?
So that's actually a little difficult to answer that question.
No, just talk about it, man. What does your mom think? Because I can say what I got from her and the conversation I had off to the side at your book signing, but I'd rather have your perspective.
I'm not... In actuality, it doesn't feel like I have a lot of support from her.
Really?
Yeah.
So she was so proud of you. She, when she speaks of you and Mr. Mouse, she knows that you've led a life with a lot of obstacles. And to see where you were Dude, I'm getting emotional just talking about it. Just seeing where you were 20 years ago or 15 or 10 or whatever, and to see where you're at now and showing how good of a father you are, because even your ex-wife came to, she came to pick up your eldest, right? Seeing all that, she was so proud, and she's just like, you know, Mr. Mouse, it all started with Mr. Mouse. I almost feel, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she talked about how Mr. Mouse was not in your possession for some time. She just loves, she's so full of pride when she talks about you and this accomplishment. I don't think she even thought it was possible, and the fact that you have such a great supportive system and you become such a great man, you're a great worker. She focused on all these things, and we were sitting at the table, and I was like, this is beautiful to see your parents show so much pride, because we're not all as fortunate. It took my dad, you know, him retiring, to be like, you are my pride and joy. And dude, that's all I looked for as a child. Like, that's all I needed to hear. But it was never good enough. And so when I see parents do that, and I'm like, man, that's beautiful. Because everyone should have a mom and dad like that. Your mom is so, so happy with you. She might not tell you, but she tells the rest of the world. Trust me.
Yeah, because the way that it comes off to me and to my family is, you know, I don't know if she's playing it hard or whatever, because if she's telling you guys all that same thing, you know, she's not showing that to us, and that makes it,
it's hard. You got to realize that look at the generation they came from, and they had a tough upbringing. Like, we're very fortunate, we have a lot of tools that help us survive in today's society. I mean, Noah was there. Do you remember Miss Mutoff saying stuff?
Yes, I do. I everything you said was pretty much, she was very proud of you. And like you said, like, I think that generation, and maybe even, you know, a little bit before, it's very hard for them to express love.
No, it is. And so just know your mom is so goddamn proud. Chest out, nothing but love and sincerity in her voice when she spoke of you. And you were in the other room, and she was just like, you know, I told her how great of a man you were, because in our world, in our profession, you are one of the most reliable humans. I tell you, you should move to bigger shows, because I think your view on life is, you don't go in there and demand things, you ask things, and people just naturally respect you. And a lot of it has to do, because I think you have a worldly view, because you did go through a lot. Whatever you went through, your mom is very proud of you at every level of your life. And she told us, we had a nice 20-minute conversation with her.
Yeah, we did.
So the fact that you don't feel supported, just know your mom is she's your biggest cheerleader. She was moved. There's so much emotion when she spoke. So, you know, when people tremble as they talk, and it's like, she just kept going. She's like, I gotta step away. And so she stepped away, and I was like, that was beautiful. And it was a conversation that I wanted to have with you on air, and I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to prep you for it.
Okay.
So throughout this process, other than your wife, has there been another integral part?
I know that my children have been a huge support on me writing and everything. I see the joy that they have knowing that they go to the school and they tell, my dad wrote a book, and they go and they tell the teachers and everything, and a lot of their teachers always buy my books.
Isn't that cool though, that you know that you're in, you know what, your book is being read by another little Nate, and he really needs that. I wish I would have had that book when I was a kid. No bullshit. Because it was just so difficult, right? I was so different. And I was ostracized. The other kids didn't like the fact that I knew every answer or that I had read ahead. If anything, I was a target. And I gained joy out of the fact that I was like, oh, these people are dumb. I was just like, okay, there, you're dumb. I'm sorry. I took full advantage of everything. If the teacher gave me a section of reading, I'd read through the whole thing, and then when she messed up, I was the one to correct her. I'm like, oh, that didn't happen. I'm like, check page 14. That didn't happen, you know. And so, but just know that your book, some little kid's reading it, and he's very happy in those reading nooks where they feel the loneliest. They're getting lost in your stories. To wrap up your book and talk about your literature, you said you're going to do a mini series.
Oh, yeah. I have, like, what we would call, like, spin-offs. You know, they're called Me and Mr. Mouse Tales, and they're just, like, short little stories that Mr. Mouse tells the child in the story in order to just help with lessons in life.
Ultimately, you're going to make, like a Mr. Mouse universe, and you want to go in and expand that universe.
Yeah.
Do you have any desire to expand beyond Mr. Mouse? And, like, is there any other creative avenue you want to take?
Actually, you know, these 12 books and the Mr. Mouse, Me and Mr. Mouse tales are actually just probably what you would call, like, phase one of the entire universe.
He's going to take over the world, man. He's going to
do it. Because I have so many stories that are beyond that, that I've written down, that are, like, bigger books for older people to read. Because even the grandpa, the story behind him and everything that he's gone through is a huge, integral part of the entire universe.
Where is grandpa? Where was he? Where does he live? Or does he not live anymore?
The way that Me and Mr. Mouse, the beginning goes, is me reflecting on the last moments that I had with my grandfather when he was on an oxygen mask. And so when you read a little bit of the story of him having this lights and this helmet that he's wearing on that entire thing, I wanted to bring a little bit of light to the whole him being on the oxygen mask and having cancer and everything, and make it a little more joyful and allow for people to understand that you can cope with anything that you're brought up in life.
I'm sorry for asking. That was way deeper than I expected. I think we've all had family. Grandma recently passed last year. Yeah, actually 3 years ago now. Oh God, time flies. And she was on life support. It was tough. And your mom was in a similar situation. Just to look back, and we can all relate to that. And so, man, I really do appreciate you coming and telling us your story, Mr. Mouse. I really hope that someone picks up the movie deal. So I can watch it, I can read it, and then you should, I honestly think you should do audiobooks of this. You have a great voice, and you should publish him on Amazon Music and stuff, and then kids can follow along, scan the QR code, and make sure that you put it on the inside of the cover, and then they can hear your voice, because I feel that you have a very animated way of delivering your stories. It's soothing, because sometimes you need that emotion, right? Everyone reads at different tones in their mind. Everyone has a book, a narrator. I know it. I know if you can remember a book you're reading, there's a narrator, right? I'm appreciative of you coming. Thank you. Thank you for being... I'm
sorry that this room is full of teary eyes at the moment.
It's all your fault, sir. I knew there was going to be strings that were going to be pulled, and especially because we're all very family oriented at this table. But you have a gift, and thank you for sharing it with us. Thank you for coming on the episode. If anybody, he's on Amazon, you're on what other platforms can they purchase your book?
Well, I know that Barnes and Noble, they have it. Amazon, you know, has it also. So,
and your social, what's your Instagram?
It's milkman_ink. INK, you know, you can find us on there.
I hope everyone follows, you know, S.A. Mutoff and reads these stories, because they're beautiful. They're meant to be shared. And like all literature in my life, I feel that it just brings people together. It gives you a different perspective on life. Getting your perspective was probably the most important, because we had assumed things, him and I, when we were talking about your books, but we didn't know what directly correlated with your life, or what directly correlated with what story, or what was made up. I was like, this guy's J.K. Rowling. I was like, he's making all this shit up. But no, it was interesting. It took me on a ride, and I enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Do you have any final words?
I don't know if I want to say what I want to say.
Say it. Do it. It's okay. We're family. You're okay. Just talk about it. Let it out.
So this is just a memory that I wanted to share with Sean. And, so I don't have a memory of my mom ever saying to me, but I love you, you know. I know she did. I just wanted to say, you know, I think that your mom really appreciates you and loves you, and appreciates what you're doing. And the reason I say that is, I think in my mid-20s, I started expressing to my mom and saying, I love you, Mom, because I never heard it from her. And there was this one time that she said to me, I said, te quiero, Mom. And she says, pues te parí, yo también te quiero. I mean, it was like, I think hard for her to say those words. I don't think she grew up with her parents expressing that to her. I think that's why she never expresses to us. But that didn't mean that she didn't love us. You know, I don't know. You know, I feel like your mom does love you. And she probably supports you in her own way. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say to you. And I love you, man.
Yeah, just know that your mom, her voice is full of pride and love. She's just so energetic when it comes to talking about you. She's so proud of you, man. And I know that you don't feel it, and you might not say it, but she is, and she expresses it to the people that surround you. And I think it's just to show that, you know, you have as much love and support at home than you do from us, because we were there to support you in this endeavor, because we love what you're doing and your creativity and sharing with the world. Good job, man. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
So, Tina, do you have any final comments or words?
I feel like this brings me back to when you had that conversation with the son who was selling the graphic novels. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
And how he never got the reassurance that he needed from his father.
Do you guys want to hear that story real quick?
Because it heavily relates to what's happening right now.
When I first moved here, I remodeled the entire house. Lowe's was my best friend. And most of the foremen and construction people that were working here, that I purchased all my own things and then they would install it. One day I needed a key, because I had all the door locks changed, and so I had them rekeyed, right? And I wanted to be a specific key. In the key section, close behind, I was wearing I like to wear things that reflect pop culture, and I was wearing my Spider-Man tee, which was the evolution of Spider-Man through the years. And he's like, oh, he had a thick accent. He was like, sounded almost Ukrainian or Russian. And he's like, oh, you like comics? And I was like, yeah, I like comics. He's like, you like Batman? I was like, I love Batman. He's like, Spider-Man? I was like, I love Spider-Man. He's like, what don't you like? I was like, I like it all. He's like, you need to meet my son. I was like, what? I was like, is this guy setting me up on a date? You know, I was like, that's where my mind goes. You know, I was like, no, sir. I was like, it's okay. I'm into girls. And he's just like, what you mean girls? My son no sell girls. And I was like, I'm starting to confuse this guy, you know? And I was just like, wait, hold on. I was like, sir, okay, just explain to me what you mean. So he's like, my son, he worked very hard. He used to work for Torpedo Comics. Now he has his own store. He has Rogue Comics. He's like, good boy, has everything, can find whatever you need. So he had me follow his son on all these social. And so his son does, it owns Red Hood Comics. I was just like, he was so proud, and he talked about how his son went through so many things, and he, similar to what your mom did. And we had a conversation about his son, and I was just like, man, his son seems like such a great human. So I go to a lot of these pop culture events regularly. I go to these comic cons, and every time I saw the Red Hood Comics, I'd always stop by to say hello, because I wanted to meet the son, and he was never there. He has employees, obviously. He owns a store. So I was like, oh. So we went to, what was it, Amazing Con? Amazing Las Vegas?
Yeah.
And I actually ran into this gentleman. I was like, hey.
Unintentionally, because I don't think you realized that he was going to be there.
No, I didn't. But I always, yeah, that's them. And so we're going to tag them in our social media post. But
yeah.
I was like, hey, man, I just need to tell you, did your dad work for Lowe's? And he's like, yeah. And I told him the story. And I was like, dude.
You
I
left just, him in tears.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, I want to share this with you. And he told me about how you worked at a Torpedo, and how you built this company, and how you did this on your own, and you bootstrapped it. You did it, and he was so proud of you, and he wanted to make sure that I shared it with my friends, because he saw that I was, when he asked me all these questions, I thought he was messing with me, but he was promoting his son.
He's so proud of him.
And he said all these things about you, and he's like, my dad? I was like, yeah, your dad.
He's like, are you sure you're talking to the right man?
Yeah, I was like, your dad worked at Lowe's? He's like, yeah, about a year ago. I was like, that's when I moved into the house. And he's just like, what Lowe's? Because he thought, sounds like BS, right?
Yeah.
And I told him Lowe's, and he's like, it's in Summerlin. And he's like, that was my dad. I was like, yeah, man. And so he left such an impactful impression, because like I tell you guys, my parents are, my mom, she's very proud, but my dad is not one to show. And so when I see that from other parents, I like to share it with the children, because sometimes we need to hear that. Even as adults, we need to hear it, right? It helps. It soothes our heart.
It's hard for them to express, yeah, especially with our father.
And so that moment was so impactful. And then I was like, yeah, man, blah, 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 blah. And I bought some comics from him. And he's just like, no, it's on the house. I'm like, no, man, I didn't tell you the story to get comics. I told you the story so you know that your dad, no matter what, because he told me his dad was a very stern strict man, and he had never seen that side of his dad, and he was just so happy. He's like, he called his significant other over, and he's like, tell her the story. And so, like,
I stood there and repeated the whole thing.
Yeah, I sat there and repeated the whole thing, rinse and repeat. But I could tell that that brought calm to his energy, and so I was happy I could share that with him, similar to what your mom did. So it was just like,
you can always see that inner child in people trying to make their parents proud and trying to get that reassurance, even though you don't get those words. It's hard to realize that they truly do love us. It's just hard to put it into words when they were never shown that same affection.
It was a great interaction, and I did not know that you didn't feel the support from your mother until today, but I'm happy that me and Noah being your friends, he was there to testify that I can't even make this up. And you know, she spoke beautifully of you, sir. And then, so your final statement was bringing that up.
Yeah, I just think it's a beautiful talk when it comes to where it's stemming from. I mean, this is literature in general, stemming from memories and childhood, and it brought up our own grandmother, your mother, just the connections that we have with not just our older generations, but the generations before them.
And Mr. Mutoff, do you have any closing statements? Like I said, thanks again for coming.
As these stories continue on, it always touches into a personal life and things that are going on. Because even in book two, it's about the child and the father, and how the father's not home very often because he's always at work. And so it really touches home, especially with us and our industry that we are at, where we are always busy. But we've got to remember to take time to be with our children, make sure that we are there with them, and that you may not think that they miss you that much, but they do. They miss you a lot, and you have to make sure you take the time to be with them and be present with them when you are home, so you can show them love and let them know that you are loved. You know, I know that it may seem difficult or tough sometimes, but you have to say it so they know that you are loved.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much for listening to the third episode, and we'll catch you next month for fourth episode. Have a good night, everybody.